The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times. Before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, I want to remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Well, recently, the New York Times featured a special called Summer of Cycling. As the editors noted, tens of thousands of miles of abandoned railroad tracks have been developed into recreational paths since the 1960s. Here are scenic pathways through deserts, valleys, mountain passages, and more. On today's Armchair Traveler, 8 Rails to Trails Adventures in the U.S., this article written by Lauren Schloss and published in the May 23, 2023 issue of the New York Times. So let's board our bikes and start riding. Tens of thousands of miles are to be covered. And here's where all this starts. In the early 20th century, the patchwork of the United States was quilted together by almost 300,000 miles of railroad lines. When the train transport fell into disuse in the 1950s and 60s, a movement began to transform those abandoned industrial corridors into recreational space. Those miles of tracks had the potential to be ideal bike paths thanks to limited incline and their proximity to towns, which stood to benefit from a new kind of tourism. There are many ways and many steps needed to turn a track with steel rails and spikes, wooden sleepers and stone ballast, into a smooth, inviting bike route. But while the trails-to-rails movement started in the 60s, it got a major boost in 1986 with the development of the Rails-to-Trails Conservancy, a national organization that has helped local communities plan, fundraise, and execute their own trail development. Now, Rails to Trails is largely focused on connectivity, linking already existing trails, over 25,000 miles of them, to create bike networks that span the country, namely the Great American Rail Trail, which will cross the country from Washington, D.C. to Washington State. Other long-distance projects include Peaks to Plains in Colorado, the Great Redwood Trail in Northern California, and the Route of the Badger in Wisconsin. We're at a really exciting time in this country in terms of never-before-seen understanding of the value of safe outdoor activity, said Ryan Chow, president of the Rails to Trails Conservancy. One of the major benefits of the Rails to Trail movement is the sheer number of trails, and here are 8 to get you started. First, it's Maryland and Pennsylvania, the Great Allegheny Passage. For an approachable multi-day ride through the Northeast Mountains, the Great Allegheny Passage connects Cumberland, Maryland to Pittsburgh. Passing around and through the Allegheny Mountains, the Laurel Highlands, and 10 towns in Pennsylvania and Maryland. While its 150-mile span may sound daunting, the full ride through ride, offers ample opportunities to rest, eat, swim, and sleep. There are bed and breakfast restaurants and ice cream shops in towns like Frostburg, Maryland, and Confluence, Pennsylvania, campsites and shady spots in the mature forest of Ohio Pyle State Park, and the Castleman and the Youghiogheny and Monongahela rivers offer dips for tired toes and opportunities for kayaking, canoeing, rafting, and fly fishing. Plan on spending 3 days and 2 nights on the full ride or opt for a shorter journey. One-day trip between Myersdale and Rockwood, Pennsylvania, allows bikers to explore old railroad structures like the Salisbury Viaduct, a destination for 360-degree views, or try an overnight ride from one trail down to another with an available shuttle service. Amtrak's Capital Limited line also runs parallel to the route. The trail is a stellar example of how prioritizing cycling infrastructure can be a boon to local communities, according to Brian Perry, the executive director of the Great Allegheny Passage Conservancy. The trail created approximately $121 million in economic impact for the region in 2019 alone. Now, the number of miles is 150, and they rate the difficulty as moderate, and you'll gain up to 1,700 feet in elevation, but the climb is gradual and smooth. It's good for children, yes, and both the whole trail and shorter trips and overnights included. And don't miss the 360-degree views from the Salisbury Viaduct. This spans about 1,908 feet across the Castleman River west of Myersville, Pennsylvania. And the time to ride this trail, well, it's 3 days and two nights for a full ride with ample options for day trips and overnights. Next stop is Idaho, the Trail of Coeur d'Alene. For easy windings through striking scenery is how they briefly describe it. Here's more detail. For a bike trail with gorgeous scenery, user-friendly terrain, and approachable trail town, seek out the Trail of Coeur d'Alene. The 73-mile route, parts of which are maintained by the Coeur d'Alene Tribe and Idaho Parks and Recreation, runs between the towns of Plummer and Mullen, Ohio, and is fully paved, so cyclists of all levels and all kinds of bikes can enjoy the ride. Winding through the striking mountains and valleys of the Idaho Panhandle, the trail takes about 2 days to ride to completion, and that itinerary leaves ample time for stops like a meal at the Snake Pit in Enaville, the oldest restaurant in Idaho, swimming at the Hebron State Park, and wildlife spotting along the Coeur d'Alene River. Now, riders looking to get a taste of the route with lakeside scenery and less distance should try riding from the town of Harrison to the Chacolet Bridge. That's an enjoyable 8-mile jaunt, according to the riders. And the number of miles is 73, difficulty described as easy, mostly flat, entirely paved. And good for children, yes, the trail is paved from one end to the other. And don't miss, fuel up at the Snake Pit, the oldest restaurant in Idaho, and stop for a photo at the official center of the universe, which is in Wallace, Idaho. The time to ride this trail easily is 2 days. Then we head to Wyoming for Medicine Bow Rail Trail. Now, for a family-friendly taste of the wilderness is the brief description. In more detail, biking between trail towns has its appeal, but there's something to be said for a trail that feels like a proper wilderness ride. The Medicine Bow Rail Trail, a 21-mile gravel trail that cuts through the Medicine Bow Route National Forest in southern Wyoming, offers just that, in a rugged, forested landscape with frequent wildlife sightings. While the trail is decidedly remote, Laramie, Wyoming is the nearest big city and is 30 miles away. It's still family-friendly, with little elevation gain and a generous width, allowing parents to ride alongside their children. The area is rich with history, too, with many native tribes, including the Arapaho and Cheyenne, frequently visited the area to conduct ceremonies and parked at the trail's northern end of near Lake Owen, a worthy destination in its own right. And there you'll find the remains of a train caboose from the tracks railroad passed. Plan on the full ride one way, taking around 5 to 6 hours, depending on how often you stop to look for moose, elk, and other wildlife. And you'll have to leave a car at each end. There is no shuttle service. Another hint, bring plenty of water, as there is none available on the trail. You will find restrooms or picnic tables, though. So the number of miles here are 21. Difficulty is easy to moderate. There's 688 feet of elevation gain at high altitude. Good for children, yes. The path is 10 feet wide, so parents can ride alongside their children. And don't miss the Lake Owen area, where you'll find a footpath and the remains of an old railroad caboose. And the time to ride is 5 to 6 hours for one way. Now on to West Virginia and the Greenbrier River Trail. Now, this is a multi-day bike-packing adventure through lush greenery, according to the riders. More details. West Virginia's Greenbrier River Trail strikes a fine balance between accessibility. It's relatively flat and reachable at various points along its 78-mile length and remoteness. The trail, which cruises downhill between the towns of Cass and Caldwell, runs alongside the Greenbrier River with lush West Virginia forest. This makes it an excellent bikepacking trail, with water, bathrooms, campgrounds, and basic cabins available along the route, including at the Greenbrier and Seneca State Forest and Watauga State Park. The flat grade makes the trail accessible for children, too, whether you opt for shorter segments or the whole 78-mile multi-day journey. Since remoteness is a major part of this trail's appeal, cell service is intermittent to non-existent. Creature comforts like fish tacos and a cold beer at the Dirt Bean Cafe and bike shop in Marlington are all the more appreciated, of course. And be sure to stop for a photo at the curving 230-foot Sharps Tunnel Bridge that's 10 miles north of Marlington. Now, the number of miles for the trail is 78. Difficulty described as moderate, goes downhill at a 1% grade. And it's good for children, yes, the trail largely flat and accessible for shorter sections. And don't miss the 230-foot Sharps Tunnel Bridge. It's a must-stop for a photo. And the time to ride, again, 2 to 3 days. on to California and the Downeyville Downhill for adrenaline rush mountain biking on former mining trails and roads. The Downeyville Downhill in Northern California, though consistently named one of the best mountain bike trails in the U.S., is technically not a former railroad track. Instead, the trail is a part of the larger Lost Sierra route, a work-in-progress trail network currently spanning 600 miles of decommissioned mining infrastructure that run through the eastern Sierra Nevada, bringing biking and hiking tourism to former gold rush towns, including Portola, Quincy, Susanville, and, of course, Downeyville. About 16 or 17 miles and a 5,000-foot drop through verdant evergreen forest, this route is not a beginner trail, but intermediate, and advanced mountain bikers can expect a high-velocity adrenaline rush in one of the most beautiful parts of the country. Shuttle services are highly recommended and make it easy to get to the top of the trail for multiple rides if you can't get enough. The trail is also the anchor of the Downeyville Classic, an annual mountain bike festival, race, and fundraiser that will be returning to the town and celebrating its 25th year in 2023. Again, the number of miles, 16 to 17, difficulty, intermediate to advanced. The trail drops more than 5,000 feet in about 16 miles. Good for children? Not really, because unless they're little rippers, according to the writers. Don't miss the Downeyville Classic, an annual mountain bike festival and race that's celebrating its 25th anniversary. And time to ride depends on how fast you shred. I bet that will go fast. Let's go on to Minnesota now on the Heartland State Trail. This is for swimming stops galore. One of the first rail-to-trail conversions in the U.S., the Heartland State Trail is a largely flat 49-mile trail that runs between Park Rapids and Cass Lake, Minnesota. Fittingly for the land of 10,000 lakes, the trail offers multiple easily accessible spots for swimming and wading in lakes and rivers. In addition to city beaches alongside or near the trail in the towns of Park Rapid, Nevis, and Walker, keep an eye out for places along the ride where steps have been built to allow riders to reach the river. Water isn't the only attraction on this well-maintained, appealingly forested trail. You'll want time to explore a small yet bustling trail, towns like Dorset, Minnesota, stop for photos at the Paul Bunyan statue in Akeley, and experienced cyclists can certainly tackle the full 49 miles in one day, but those looking for a more leisurely and kid-friendly ride would do well to take a weekend, stop for a night in Dorset, and leave plenty of time for swims. Total number of miles is 49. The difficulty, again, easy. The trail mostly flat. Good for children, absolutely. Don't miss the Paul Bunyan statue in Akeley. And time to ride is 1 to 2 days, again, if you want to make it leisurely. Now, on to Arizona. The Chuck Huckleberry Loop for urban exploring in mid-desert landscapes. Now, the Chuck Huckleberry Loop in Arizona, connecting unincorporated Pima County, Marana, Oro Valley, South Tucson, and Tucson, is an example of a newer urban infrastructure being reclaimed for recreation. After major floods in the 1970s and 80s, Pima County constructed soil cement bank protection along the Santa Cruz and Relito Rivers and noticed that residents were using the embankments as multi-use paths. Following their lead, the county began developing river parks and paved paths connecting the river parks with neighborhood bike lanes and ultimately creating a full loop that was completed in 2018. The 137-mile paved loop includes a 68-mile circle around Tucson, plus additional out-and-back rides along the banks of the Cañada del Oro, Washington, and Santa Cruz River, making for a unique combination of urban exploration. A Sunday farmer's market in the Relito River Park, or a pit stop for coffee, beer, and Southwestern fare at the downtown Tucson's Mercado San Agustin near the Santa Cruz River Park, and striking desert landscapes with views of the Santa Catalina and Rincon Mountains. Total number of miles here is 137. The difficulty described is easy. Total elevation gain, rather, is about 1,000 feet, but the average gradient is just 1%. There are short sections of up to 5% gradient and underpasses, and it's good for children without any question. And something you don't want to miss, check out the Tucson Mercado San Agustin near the Santa Cruz River Park. And the time to ride again is 1 to 3 days for a full loop. Now we move on to Connecticut and Massachusetts for the Farmington Canal Heritage Trail for a multi-generational history lesson. The history of the Farmington Canal Heritage Trail is immediately evident in its name. The largely flat trail runs alongside the former Farmington Canal, which was once used to transport agricultural products and manufactured goods on horse-towed boats. The canal, which ran from New Haven, Connecticut to Northampton, Massachusetts, was replaced by a railroad that was decommissioned in the 1980s. A local citizens group transformed a section of the corridor into a recreational trail in 1993, and over the decades added more miles, with a roughly 81-mile connected trail now the goal. With some gaps still remain, the completed 64 miles provide a draw for cyclists of all ages. Learn more about the route, which stops at the Lock 12 Historical Park in Cheshire, the Southington Train Depot in Southington, and the Lockkeeper's House, and I should say Southington is how they pronounce it there, and the Lockkeeper's House in Hampden, where you'll find a small exhibit on the canal's history and a restored home. This year marks the 200th anniversary of the incorporation of the Farmington Canal Company, and a number of events are happening through the summer and fall, and to celebrate, including historical walking tour along the Farmington Canal Heritage Trail, or FCH. In New Haven, and this took place on June 17th. Now, the number of miles for the trail is 64, difficulty again easy, about 600 feet in total elevation gain. Good for children, absolutely. Don't miss the Lockkeeper's House in Hampden, Connecticut, which has a small exhibit on the canal's history. And the time to ride for the whole thing is listed as about 1 to 3 days. Well, you may recall that we mentioned the town of Nevis, Minnesota, while checking out the Heartland State Trail. Well, Nevis is spelled N-E-V-I-S. There's also a Caribbean island spelled the same way, but pronounced Nevis. It's the subject of our next story from a New York Times ongoing series. 36 Hours in Nevis is written by Janine Baroni and includes photographs taken by Tony Sinicola. Or Sinicola, I should say. The article was published in the January 12, 2023 issue of the New York Times. Nevis is a 6-minute water taxi ride from the Caribbean island of St. Kitts. It has a slow-mo vibe. Together, the two islands form a small country. Goats and sheep graze everywhere, even beside the airport's single runway. And in Charleston, the sleepy capital that's dotted with Georgian-style stone buildings, many shops close around 5 p.m. on weekdays and stay closed on weekends. With its unspoiled beaches, Alexander Hamilton's birthplace is the less developed and serene Caribbean many visitors crave. The Museum of Nevis is a good place to learn about the island's slave past, remnants of sugar and cotton plantations that exploited slave labor until the late 1830s or throughout Nevis. Some are now accommodations or restaurants, a complicated reality on this tiny island. These days, Nevis is looking to a sustainable future. It plans to start tapping into its font of geothermal energy in June, with a goal to make the island 100% fossil fuel free for electricity generation, hopefully within 2 years, according to the island's premier, Mark Brantley. Here's some recommendations for key stops. Drift, an informal restaurant with a postcard-worthy waterfront location, embraces the island's low-key vibe. Hiking, the nature trail at the base of Nevis Peak wraps you in a landscape lush with native plants that have medicinal and culinary properties. And then you have the Museum of Nevis History and the Alexander Hamilton Museum offer insights into the people, places, and events that contributed to the life and times of the island. So, again, now this is part of the New York Times 36 Hours, an ongoing series. So now we're going to start the countdown, and we begin our 36 hours on a Friday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. as we pedal through history initially. Cycle the undulating Island Main Road on the east side, where chickens, donkeys, and vervet monkeys may cross your path. You can rent a bike for 95 Eastern Caribbean dollars, EC, or about 35 U.S. dollars a day from Nevis Adventure Tours. I'm confusing it with the one in Minnesota there. Bikes are delivered at no charge. Or for a historical perspective, join the company's Windward Discovery Cycling Tour. That's $459 EC dollars per person, two-person minimum, guided by the owner and triathlete Reggie Douglas. Over the 2.5-hour round trip, he'll point out 19th and early 20th century chattel houses that were some of the first properties owned by newly freed slaves. The St. James Anglican Church, with its rare black crucifix, one of the few remaining in the Caribbean churches, made by former formerly enslaved people to commemorate emancipation, and the remnants of machinery at the New River Estate, an expansive former sugar processing estate with lots of ruins to explore. Now it's 5:30, and we're going to take a chill over cocktails, drift a casual and shabby chic eatery and bar on the North Coast, opened just before the pandemic. The interior of this alfresco beach shanty is a gloriously whitewashed, with straw chandeliers over the bar, and an informal art gallery with dreamy paintings of monkeys and island landscapes by Vicki Fuller, who runs Drift with her husband Mark. Savor one of their signature cocktails, 38 EC dollars, like the refreshing Booby Island Breeze that's sweet and tangy with citrus, melon, liqueur, and rum, as you sit literally on the water's edge and gaze at St. Kitts and Booby Island, which lies between Nevis and St. Kitts. Don't be surprised to see a sea turtle or two swim by. Now at 7:30, we're going to dine in a garden setting. In 1998, Jillian Smith started Bananas Bistro in 1998 as a shack with a two-burner stove. It's since evolved into a relaxed restaurant and a magical setting. Driving there involves navigating a sometimes bumpy road east of Charlestown above the ruins of the Hamilton Estate, a former sugar plantation. The restaurant's property includes a sprawling tropical garden with a path wending through the palms, ferns, and vines. Snag a table on the porch close to the greenery, where you can hear the chirpings of tree frogs. Try the crispy fritters with yam like Tania, 22 EC dollars, or Tanya, you should call it, or the Thai style shrimp cooked in a made from scratch red curry paste, 103 EC dollars. Also visit the Totally Bananas Boutique in a cottage on the property for a one of a kind jewelry, 149 to 1,215 EC dollars. From designers in Turkey, Greece, India, and Spain. And with its unspoiled beaches and slow-mo vibe, Nevis is the less developed and serene Caribbean many visitors crave. Now we go on to Saturday, and it's Saturday morning at 9:30, and we explore a bounty of blooms. Horticulturalists and fans of Asian art will enjoy the botanical gardens of Nevis. The entry fee is 41 EC dollars, a perfect venue for a meditative stroll. The 6.5-acre expanse is dotted with Buddhist and Hindu sculptures from the owner's private collections, and you can meander down the main path flanked with royal palms and notice a pair of Chinese guardian lions. Now it's 11 a.m., and we're going to follow the Founding Father. Facing Charlestown waterfront, two museums entry for both 27 EC dollars, stand a short stroll apart on an expansive property that may be the site of Alexander Hamilton's birth home. Roam to the Alexander Hamilton Museum, a wood-shingled building, to learn about this founding father. The unpretentious interior holds a few original ephemera, a decorative plate, candle holders, donated by Hamilton's great-great-grandson, and panels documenting his life. Across the lawn, past the life-size Hamilton bronze, just installed in July 2022, is the Museum of Nevis History, set in restored green-shuttered stone building. Along with insights into Nevis's history of slavery and sugar production, the displays include pre-colonial stone beads and other artifacts from the Amerindians, the island's native people. The gift shop has locally made goods, including whistles, hand-carved from mahogany, and tamarind trees, and these are running at 16 EC dollars. 12:30, time to lounge at lunch. On the verdant grounds of the Lux Montpelier Plantation and Beach, a hotel 15 minutes east of Charlestown in the foothills of Nevis Peak, Indigo is a sunsplash restaurant that's aptly named. Myriad shades of blue hues accent the contemporary pavilion space that's beside a cerulean-tiled pool for resort guests only. For lunch, settle into any of the several inviting indoor spots, including comfy lounge sofas where you can eye Erica palms glowing in the sunlight. The grilled chicken Caesar has the perfect amount of anchovies, 38 EC dollars. Later, amble through Montpelier's public spaces for the latest works by Kirk Mekor, a Canadian artist residing in Nevis who creates intricate and textured line paintings that have a sculptural quality. His exhibitions change once or twice a year. Now, at 2:30, we're going to tan on a wild stretch. If your idea of an idyllic afternoon means sun, sand, and nothing else, then spread your blanket on Lover's Beach on the north coast of the island. This curve of an island is not visible from the road. Caudal Long Path, the title of the road, Park a short distance from Wally Beach Resort beside two sea turtle signs, including one describing their life cycle. The official nesting season is March to November, when three sea turtle species lay their eggs on the beach. Just be sure to keep your distance. And the shore is only a three-minute amble from the parking lot. Now it's down to 5 p.m., where we're going to sip some cocktails at sunset. One of the handful of easygoing bars near and along the 4 Mile Pennies Beach, Lime Beach Bar has both a friendly vibe and a bright green hue, enlivening everything from the bar and tabletops to the columns and banisters. Following recent renovations, the venue now has a new seafront option with a standalone bar and 20 thatch roof dining cabanas, some separated by clusters of sea grape bushes that face the Caribbean. And then at 7:30, we're going to dine in authentic locale. This unassuming open-air roadside structure with its wood panels and corrugated aluminum roof is easy to miss. This would be a shame. The owner and chef, Karen Bell, pours her heart into Passion Bar and Grill in Cox Village, southeast of Charlestown, where she often adapts her mom's and grandmother's recipes. Her gastronomic chops came via the Four Seasons Resort, Nevis, where she rose from waitress to cook. Settle at one of the simple wooden tables or a brightly painted one in the bar area, positioned atop the gravel, and enjoy an Evesian night, alive with barking dogs, braying donkeys, and chirping crickets. What more could you want? Now let's move to Sunday. It's 8:30 a.m. We wander through nature, summiting the 3,232-foot-tall Nevis Peak in hopes of postcard-perfect views. Is a tempting activity, but it's an arduous two-hour climb that's steep and likely slippery and muddy and often cloaked with impenetrable clouds. Instead, let's schedule a mellow, privately guided nature trek with Sunrise Tours, $216 per person, two-person minimum. The owner, Lionel LeBird's love for Nevisian flora and fauna stem from his great-grandfather, a local mountain ranger. Then we take on at 11 o'clock, we take in the waters. Waters with supposed healing powers can be found at Bath Hot Springs, south of Charlestown. Therapeutic use of the thermal waters has a history going back to the British colonial period and maybe to the island's native people before that. And then by 12:30, we want to have lunch by the sea. The whitewashed area interior of the Yachtsman Grill on the island's west coast gives center stage to the sea and sand just steps away. Dine inside or at one of the several shaded outdoor tables. Thin crust pizzas are a specialty, as is fresh from the fisherman seafood. Order a dish that combines both. Their signature pizza is $76 EC, and it's topped with lobster, shrimp, and grouper, along with an unusual white sauce made with cayenne pepper and lemon zest. And given the owner's passion for wines, it's a diverse cellar with mostly American wines and bottles from vineyards as far away as New Zealand, Chile, and Argentina. And that, my friends, says it's time to end today's journey. Hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be with us next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and I remind you the content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Now, The Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Again, that's ncreadingservice.org. Any comments or questions may be directed to 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.